Financial markets tumble again as coronavirus worries spread. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. European shares have recovered some of their steep early losses. The pan-European Stock 600 index is down 1.4% after falling nearly 3% in the first hour of trade today. That follows declines of 0.7% across most of the major averages in Asia. Countries including the U.S. are making contingency plans for a coronavirus pandemic as the illness spreads from its epicenter in central China. In Hong Kong, the government announced it'll give cash handouts of around $1,300 to residents over 18. The BBC's Sharonjit Lail has more.
Well, as you can imagine, there's a rising cost from the coronavirus outbreak for businesses around the world. And of course, Hong Kong is no exception to the rule. You've also had the massive protests that have really dogged the city's economy for much of last year. So these are really measures aimed at trying to address some of those issues. And of course, it has taken a huge toll on Hong Kong's economy. It's been buffeted by recession, with tourism and retail firms really struggling to survive.
Do people think this will work in helping bring the economy back from the brink?
So, you know, what's incredible is that Hong Kongers are going to get a cash handout of some 10,000 Hong Kong dollars. Now, that's nearly 1,300 US dollars. There's the equivalent of about $15 billion in relief measures here. Everything from salary tax breaks and low interest loans for businesses, aid for education, the elderly and lower income residents. So they're really trying to throw money at the problem, which of course we know is not just the coronavirus, but the protests that have dogged the city for much of last year.
The BBC's Sharonjit Lail. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's not just Hong Kong out with a closely watched budget today. In just over an hour, South Africa will present what's arguably the country's most important budget since the end of apartheid. The BBC's Matthew Davis reports.
Tito Mboweni has an unenviable task. South Africa's finance minister has to put the country's fiscal house in order to the extent that the ratings agency Moody's refrains from cutting South Africa's sovereign debt to below investment grade, to so-called junk status. But to do this, he needs to cut spending and raise taxes. But that's not easy. The political pressure from within his own ruling African National Congress Party and from the powerful unions has so far prevented several finance ministers from cutting the wages of public servants or reducing the size of the civil service. Raising taxes through measures like increasing VAT is equally problematic in a country where economic growth is essentially stagnant and unemployment is pushing 30%. And much focus will be on what Mr. Mboweni intends to do to sort the mess of the state-owned enterprises like the power utility Eskom and the National Airline, who have become such a drain on the public purse that continuing to bail them out was a major reason S&P and Fitch have already downgraded South African debt to junk. And if Moody's follows suit, international investors will start to sell that debt. And that can only make a bad economic situation worse. I'm the BBC's Matthew Davis for Marketplace.
Barclays is reportedly preparing to start the search for a new chief executive. That news follows the announced departures of bosses at three of Europe's biggest banks. Yalman Onrin has been digging into the why of this story over at Bloomberg Finance.
It's part of the turmoil that really has been going on in European banks for a long time, since the 2008 crisis. Globally, Europe had multiple crises. It also had its own sovereign debt crisis and banking issues. So the banks are still struggling to really recover from all those, and that really impacts their leadership, and they cannot find the right model to really make the turnaround, so they keep changing their leadership.
And so why now? Does this have to do with negative interest rates and slowing global growth too?
Yes, the European Central Bank has kept negative rates, which really hurts banks, because when you're a bank, you cannot drop what you pay your depositors, the savings accounts, less than zero. You cannot pay them, but you still cannot start charging little guys who bring you their money. So that means the margin that banks make, which is the basic of banking worldwide, keeps shrinking. And in Europe, that has shrunk so little that they cannot make money.
There have been reports Europe's main banking regulator could loosen restrictions around consolidation in the industry. Could mergers or takeovers then be the solution the banking industry is looking for to better compete globally?
The banks say that's probably one of the most important solutions. A lot of CEOs have said it in conferences and other speeches that there needs to be big mergers, cross-border mergers especially. The main regulator, European Central Bank, is in favor of such mergers, but it doesn't work because national regulators and national governments especially have too much say on what happens to their banks, and there's still too much national resistance to cross-border mergers.
So is one thing maybe looking at different kinds of acquisitions? In the U.S. at least, we've seen more focus on consumer finance companies as targets for takeovers. Morgan Stanley last week said it's buying E-Trade. There are reports Intuit could snap up Credit Karma. Would those kinds of deals make European players more competitive?
It still doesn't work because the consumer markets in several European countries are too saturated. Like Germany is extremely overbanked. There are thousands of little banks that really compete down the prices of everything a bank can offer. And Deutsche Bank cannot compete there. So even with the consumer banking, there needs to be cross-border mergers. Because the problem is the north of the EU has a lot of extra savings like Germany or Holland or the Nordic countries. And the south, like Italy, France, other countries, they need the money flowing south, but it doesn't flow.
Yalman Onaran, senior writer at Bloomberg Finance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Finally, ruthless organization and unparalleled communication are skills Harry Potter fans need to work at Wizarding World. On the digital team, that is. Warner Media is looking for a social media editor. Proficiency in charms and spellcasting not required. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.